Our Old Testament reading is from the prophet Ezekiel, Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 6. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Our epistle lesson this morning is from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And then our gospel lesson this morning is from John chapter 11, verses 17 to 27, and then 38 to 48. We'll begin with verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And then skipping down to verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Many years ago, 4 friends and I loaded into a car and drove from Seattle to Hoquiam, Washington. We were headed to a funeral home to view the body of our friend, Mike. While working for the railroad, building a bridge over a ravine in the Washington Cascades, Mike slipped and fell to his death. He was 22 years old. He'd just graduated from college, the first person ever to do so in his family. At Hoquiam High School, Mike was an honors graduate. He was the president of his senior class. He was a three-sport athlete and the senior class Scholar Athlete Award recipient. In college, he was an all-conference football player. Mike's dad didn't make it past the eighth grade. You can imagine how proud they were of Mike. But Mike was dead. We arrived at the funeral home and were ushered into the viewing area, and there was Mike lying in a box, visible from the waist up. I remember his face. It looked like Mike, and yet not quite. We'd played football together, been on the Gong Show together. We hung out with the same people and shared a lot of experiences and a lot of friends. Mike was hilarious, a big guy with an oversized personality. I stood over him, staring, and then reached down and grabbed his hand, and it startled me. His hand was cold, stone cold. I finally got it. I understood. Mike was dead, and he wasn't coming back. There's a finality to death that can't be denied. It's jarring and often ugly and usually very sad. And on the surface, anyway, completely and thoroughly permanent. And yet earlier, we read the prophecy from Ezekiel about dead, dry bones being brought back to life. And then even more shocking, we read the historical account of dead Lazarus being brought back to life. That wasn't a prophecy, it was an actual event. Plenty of witnesses were there to see it, and it had immediate consequences. The Sanhedrin, the ruling council of Israel in the first century, responded by making plans to murder Lazarus and crucify Jesus. After Jesus raised Lazarus, they were even more afraid of Jesus' influence and power. They did crucify Jesus, of course, within weeks after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And the crucifixion of Jesus is one of the best documented events of ancient history. And the raising of Lazarus is part of that history. There's no question that Jesus was crucified, and there's no question that Jesus actually raised Lazarus from the dead either. There's so much historical evidence. So the question is, how did it happen that Lazarus was raised up and restored to life? Dead is dead, isn't it? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That passage about Lazarus that we just read starts at John 11, verse 17. But if we'd started earlier in John chapter 11, we would have read in verse 3 that Mary and Martha contacted Jesus when Lazarus was just ill. He had not yet died. But Jesus didn't respond immediately to Mary and Martha's request for help. Finally, in verse 14 and 15, Jesus said to his disciples, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, in order that you may believe." So this whole episode, you could say, was a setup. Jesus allowed Lazarus to die in order to go and resurrect him and make a point to everyone who would witness it or read about it. Of course, that raises the seemingly impossible possibility that God will take the worst tragedies in your life and somehow, some way, create good out of them. Who knows how? But that's what's promised in Romans 8:28. Hard to imagine. But back to the Lazarus story. By the time Jesus and his entourage arrived in the little town of Bethany, Lazarus had been in the grave 4 days. Jesus arrived too late, much, much too late. Lazarus was dead, his body already decaying, and he wasn't coming back. You know, I mentioned recently a Bible study I participated in years ago and a discussion we had one night. A friend of mine described the process of salvation this way. He said, "I imagine sin to be a great chasm, like the Grand Canyon. And this chasm of sin separates us from God. There's a tightrope stretched across this canyon. I come halfway across, and God comes halfway across, and he meets me in the middle." Now, if that's true, if it's true that we meet God halfway when it comes to eternal life, when it comes to being saved from death, can you imagine Jesus saving Lazarus, resurrecting Lazarus from the grave? Lazarus was as dead as my buddy Mike. He was more dead than my buddy Mike. Mike was freshened up thanks to the wonders of modern mortuary science, but not Lazarus. Maybe he was sprinkled with a little perfume. But other than that, he was wrapped in cloths and rotting away. So can you imagine Jesus shouting, "Lazarus, can you hear me? Have you done your part yet? You got one shot here, buddy, and I don't want you to blow it. So focus in, Lazarus, work with me. This is what I need you to do." That's not how Jesus raised Lazarus. Dead people don't follow directions, for one thing. Jesus raised Lazarus by simply pronouncing him alive, which only God can do. "Come out, Lazarus." In other words, "I say you're alive, Lazarus, so come out." The wonderful thing here is that Jesus does all the work in our salvation. We don't meet him halfway. He comes all the way over to you and rescues you. That's what he did for Lazarus, and that's what he did for you on the cross. Earlier, we read Romans 8, where the first verse says, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Condemnation in this context means death. There is no death for you who've received the free gifts of forgiveness and faith in Christ. That's what it says. You receive those gifts of forgiveness and faith in Christ via the Holy Spirit, working in different ways, working through God's Word, and through the sacraments, baptism and communion. You don't earn those gifts, you just receive them. Take a look at Romans 8, verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." In other words, you who are baptized and believe will not die. You will live in heaven. Really? It's that simple? I'd like to believe that, honestly. But you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I struggle with. You know, You're in the same boat as Paul, it sounds like. In Romans 7, Paul said, I do not do the thing I want to do, but the very thing I hate, that's what I keep on doing. Paul had a sin problem, just like you, and just like me, like every human being. Read Romans 3. But here's the interesting thing. Being a sinner is what qualifies you to be rescued by Jesus. Christ came to save sinners. The good news is that the righteousness of Christ is credited to you. So God loves you and accepts you on that basis. You're not condemned to death. You've been freed from death, just like Lazarus. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. That includes even you. So relax and rest. Let gratitude and humility and peace wash over you. You're forgiven by God, redeemed by God, loved beyond what you can imagine by God. Though you are sinful, you've been declared righteous by God. It's going to be okay, Mary and Martha. Lazarus will live. Mike's mom and dad, you're going to see him again soon. For all of you who mourn, it's going to be okay. It's going to be much, much better than okay. You can be sure of it because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's God's forgiveness and acceptance and salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be filled with gratitude toward you for what you have done for us. And because you have done it and we have not contributed, Lord, also fill us with humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.